You are listening to episode number 257 of Mighty Warriors 3 Marvel Podcast. Marvel Podcast. I'm your host, Ben, a.k.a. The Marvelous Iggy. Joining me is the man who said he will never read DC Comics again despite reading DC Comics again, Mr. Taser. Taser, welcome back to the show.
That's all the crow Taser is eating right now.
Wait a minute. Hold it. Beef and rice. Awesome. Anyway, I did not say that. You can't prove it. Prove it or give it up. Hi, folks. How you doing?
And the man who I'm riding in my current streaming of Breath of the Wild, Fearless.
God, that sounds weird to say. Unfortunately, I cannot name my ship in Andromeda the Iggy, but if I could, I would. So
You bought Andromeda.
You bought Andromeda.
Yeah. Yeah, I pre-ordered it.
Oh.
Yeah. I am loving the hell out of it right now.
You're the only person who I know who isn't thinking it's mediocre, because everything I've also heard is mediocre.
Granted, I'm not that far into the game yet. I mean, I'm only on, like, the third planet, but I still...
Is it broken for you?
I'm running on PS4 console right now. Everything runs fine for me, honestly. I've had no problems whatsoever.
Okay. Maybe it's just a poorly optimized PC port. That could be it.
Maybe. That's entirely possible.
Oh, well, I won't be getting it because I'm too busy playing Breath of the Wild. I have literally not bought any other game because I'm just like, I'm still playing Zelda. It's over a month and I'm still playing Zelda. And I could beat the game very soon, but I don't want to. That means I have to stop. But either way, we're not here to talk about video games or lame effect. We're here to talk about Marvel Comics.
Hey.
First of all, yes, I am a Mass Effect fan, but that means I can poke fun at the franchise. But now you have a choice between Red Greer, Bleen. The red line means we're going to talk about Michael Shannon as Cable, potentially. That was a horrible fucking segue. He will find Cable.
Where did you practice that speech? On a farm?
Real talk, that's just pretty much the news, the rumors. I don't see it outright, but I could deal with it more so than NFL Friday Night Lights coach before. But I could definitely see Michael Shannon pulling off the gruff war veteran better.
Better than who?
Who was the other guy who was rumored for Cable, Brian?
Friday Night Lights, the coach. God, what the fuck was it? Hold on. Kyle Chandler.
Definitely more so than Kyle Chandler. Kyle Chandler looks like he could be Nathan Summers. Not Nathan Summers. Who's Scott Summers' dad? Is it Nathan Summers?
Corsair.
Corsair, yeah. He looked like he could be a better Corsair than, say, Cable. But, yeah, I mean, the only thing I know from Michael Shannon is General Zod. And apparently he's a pretty good actor. Unfortunately, I haven't seen a lot of his stuff, but just looking at him and, like, Cable's one of my favorite characters, so I have a stake with this. He's not as big, but fuck it, they could always do the Rob Liefeld thing and put him in big-ass suit of armor or whatever.
With shoulder pads.
And pouches everywhere. God, there need to be pouches everywhere.
And a big ass gun to go along with it.
Oh,
that
definitely.
Would make
but
me happy.
If Michael Shannon wants to do another comic book movie again and it's Cable, I mean, I think that's a pretty big get for Deadpool, but I'd be down with it. I think he could do a good job as Cable. He already looks like a cynical old man, anyways.
Doesn't take much to become that in Hollywood, or so I've heard.
All I'll say is this. I still Stephen Lang for Cable. I'm saying it. Stephen Lang for Cable. All right.
Is that that blind guy from that one movie?
No.
Yep.
Well, he was blind in the movie, but that's also
the
commander from Avatar.
Okay. Yeah, that's what everybody wants to
because he looks like Cable. Okay. But be that as it may, Michael Shannon, and I mentioned this on Facebook, Michael Shannon is not who I would pick, but I do have a problem, though. I'm aware of the fact that when you think about it, well, wait a minute, he played General Zod. General Zod was a Kryptonian who was designed by birth to be a warrior. That warrior got his ass kicked by both a scientist and his son on the first day of him being Superman, and somebody who hadn't really been in any fights for the entirety of his life. So, how good a warrior could he have been? You know? And this is the man that they picked to be.
You're talking about what the director wanted to do versus the actor himself? That's a directing choice. He didn't say... That's a directing choice, first of all. And that's bullshit for you to put that on Shannon.
No, you know why? You know why I say that? Because I bet you Dallas Sedonis, if they pick him as Cable, he'll have a headache the whole time and can't use none of his powers.
Well, I love how you're using what the directors and the writers wanted to do against him.
I use whatever I can get my hands on, damn it, to make my absurd assumptions. You should be used to this by now. It's been 5 years.
Thank you, Donald Trump. All right. Brian, what do you think of Michael Shannon as potentially as Cable?
I will say that of the many things that were wrong with Man of Steel, and by the way, fun fact, did you know he's still credited as General Zod in Batman v Superman as well?
Well, that's his corpse is in there.
I know.
So,
technically gets two credits for that bullshit. Isn't that something? Although, another fun fact, that wasn't his first comic book movie.
Really?
No, he was in Jonah Hex.
You know what? I have never seen that movie.
Neither
have
I.
It's a Western. It's a Western, so that's why.
It's so bad.
Wow, that was like, what, 20 years ago almost?
It's got to
be like Hex. Jonah Hex?
No.
When?
Like 10.
No. Not 10. Okay, no,
Jonah
like
Hex
5.
No. Jonah Hex a while ago.
Okay, I'm fucking
Googling
it. I just
had the Wikipedia up. Hang on.
It was a while ago. What was it, 10, 20 years ago, you
10.
Fucks?
Because, what's his name? Dude who's playing Thanos, he was in that.
Josh Brolin.
Yeah,
he was the lead.
He was Hex.
2010. It came out 7 years ago.
Yeah. So let's put the difference basically between 10 and 5, I guess.
So 20
years
ago.
I thought it came out in 2012 or something. Jesus Christ.
Things get blurry when there are shitty superhero movies about. But that being said, Batman v Superman and Man of Steel. Of the many things that were wrong with Man of Steel, and there were plenty, I don't think Michael Shannon was one of them. Because I think he had a sense of what he wanted his character to be. And I actually really liked his character, believe it or not. It brought some gravitas to it, I thought. And I also really liked the way he kind of dug into the role after he just kind of loses everything, and then it's sort of like he just kind of loses his shit and, like, goes berserk. I thought that was very well done in, like, a loose cannon kind of way. But
well, I'll say this. I liked his Zod's motivation. I could kind of agree with that.
Yeah.
And near the end game, you know, there's the scene when he's like, if you do that, you're destroying Krypton! And Clark was like, well, fuck, Krypton had his chance. Fuck all of y'all. You know what I'm thinking to myself, you know, really, that's your people.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, that's, I don't think I could have done that, but understandably, you know, look at the position he's in. He had to make a choice. I understand it. I think kind of fucked up. Either way, Michael Shannon, I'm not saying he can't play it. We had freaking, what's his name is Batman, Michael Keaton, okay? And people just kind of made noise about that. And I think he pulled up Bruce Wayne. He pulled up Bruce Wayne. If you pull up Bruce Wayne, you're good with me. Him playing Cable, I think he might be able to, if I base his performance off of how he ripped it off General Zod. So I'm willing to not scream, but fuck, man. I wanted Stephen Lang. Stephen Lang is perfect. I mean...
Stephen Lang, or I would accept Ron Perlman as well, because I love Ron Perlman.
Ron Perlman.
I think Ron Perlman would be the better Cable. But I think Ron Perlman might be the better name,
but I still think Stephen Lang looks it better to me. But Ron Perlman, I think, could definitely pull it off. I do think he could. He's got the chops. He's done enough. His acting, definitely. Yeah, he could definitely pull it off.
And considering Hellboy 3 ain't going to happen, so.
One thing I love is that there's a little bit of like a friendly kind of rubbing between Stephen Lang and Ron Perlman over Cable, believe it or not.
Really?
I don't think they're directly at each other, but a fan posted an image of Stephen Lang done up as Cable, and Ron Perlman came back with like, "Why you gotta do that, man? Stab me in the back like this." Like, he was just kind of having fun with it. So he knows there's a contingent of people who want him to be Cable, and I think he knows there's also a contingent. So I think either way, if it's one of them, you know, we kind of get lucky. So
yeah, but who knows? No decision for Cable has been made yet.
Yes, none has been made. However, Michael Shannon is currently the front runner to portray the man known as Cable.
And I think, honestly, for Cable, and I'm not saying that Stephen Lang can't do it, so let me say that first, but I think for Cable, whoever you're going to get for Cable, it has to be a straight man. You cannot have somebody who is more... You need to have somebody who can play that straight man against Ryan Reynolds' Deadpool. That's their dynamic, and I feel like maybe quips with it, but I need Cable to be completely polar opposite from Deadpool.
Okay.
Like, that's just, to me, like, how their dynamics should work.
Right, right. No, I would agree with you. don't get me wrong. I just wanted to say that. You know, no jokes? Yeah.
No jokes. The Warner Brothers policy. So let's move on to more potential Deadpool casting news, which is,
confirmed.
Oh, confirmed. Confirmed. I apologize, Ms. Beats, or Betts, I'm sorry. Is it Beats?
Zazzy Beats. Yes.
Zazzy Beats. I'm going to assume that's a pseudonym for her real name. Zazzy Beats has officially been cast as Domino, the assassin of X-Force, the well-known assassin with luck. I don't know her from anything. Apparently she's on a very hit show called Atlanta.
Yes.
Which I've never watched.
I've seen it.
Is it a comedy? Is it a drama? What is it?
It's like a comedy, but it's a weird kind of like, imagine if Twin Peaks was about the rap game in the South and just kind of had more light.
So it's weird?
Yeah, it is kind of weird. I really can't describe it because there's no real easy way to describe it. It sort of almost defies description. I don't mean that in a way of like, it's above this, so... No, it's just... It's not something that's ever come around before. Like, for example, they did an entire episode where the main rapper on the show is sitting in on a fake local access talk show, and they do fake commercials of the bumpers, and one of them is about, like, a cereal where it's, like, coconuts, and all of a sudden the wolf trying to steal the cereal gets beat down by a cop, and it turns into like a black man, white cop allegory where he's just trying to steal some cereal. And he's like, "I'm just hungry, man. I got kids to feed. I'm just trying to get some food." And the kids who are in the commercial are like, "Man, just get off him. You're hurting him. You're breaking his neck." And then the cop is like, "Move aside, sir." And it's – I'm sorry. That was a real bad tangent. It's weird.
Okay.
However, she is one of the more regular, more put-together characters. She's a sort of single mother in the show. And she plays off of Donald Glover a lot, so she's a well-rounded act. She acts very well, so there's that at least.
So, I can't base on anything. I have to see it in the movie. I'm just glad Domino's in it. This is basically turned into a backdoor X-Force movie. Basically. This is basically what this turning is.
Basically.
Which I kind of like. Get me Shatterstar. Get me Shatterstar, Deadpool people. Do it. I don't care. Make him gay. Shatterstar's gay, right?
Yes. Shatterstar and Richter.
Give me both of them. Give me Wolfsbane. Give me all of them.
Well, we already got Richter, but he's kind of...
Oh, yeah.
He could still be gay. He'd just be untouchable.
Yeah. But yeah, I don't know much about her, but I'll say I will wait and see to what she comes. Taser, bring on your racism.
What? Okay, yeah, I'm disappointed that they went and hit her with the Marvel Now brush, you know? I don't know a thing about Zazie Beetz.
Fuck off with that. Come on.
What? Hey,
Marvel
look.
Now brush. Her
What's the Marvel Now brush?
She creates a contrast as a fucking playing card. What is the... Never mind.
Okay, tell me something. Is or isn't Domino in the comic books Caucasian? Yes
She's
or no?
She's a clown.
Technically,
she is
yes.
Caucasian. Okay.
She's a clown.
So
she has
making her something else in other media is getting hit with the Marvel Now brush.
It'd be the other way around if they'd make Domino black in the comics. That would be the Marvel Now brush.
No, it's still the same thing. It's still the same thing.
No, it's not, though, because she's never appeared in a movie before.
Brush, okay?
No, it's
just like making Colly Wink Chinese in the damn TV show.
That's
she's not even Chinese. She's half Japanese.
Black and white.
Marvel Now brush.
The same card she's based off of.
She's still Caucasian. Just because she's different colored has absolutely nothing to do with
as long as she sounds as long as she comes off as Domino, that should all be that matters.
Really?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Yes, we've had this argument a thousand times before.
So then make Captain America black.
And have I said that they should? Yes,
make
I said
Captain America
fucking
black.
Do.
You know, and for that matter, make more Hindu. Okay, and make
you've said that a thousand times.
I've never said that. I said make Peter Parker black. I said you could make Peter Parker black.
We're talking about Peter Parker. We're talking about a character whose skin is literally a playing card. It looks like a playing card.
You could make her blue. She's still Caucasian. Doesn't fucking matter. Does not fucking matter.
Her race does not factor into Domino's characterization.
The Hulk is green. He's still Caucasian.
No, he's gray.
Okay.
He's gray.
Okay, fair enough.
His first appearance is gray. Yeah.
So what is he now? What is he now? Oh, he's dead
he's
now.
He's blue.
No, he's dead, so he's blue.
Yeah, he's blue. He's 6 feet under. There you go.
Jennifer Walters as She-Hulk. What is she?
Caucasian. Well, she's white.
She's
she's white now.
No, is she white or green?
Gray.
Well, she's not green anymore because she won't transform,
okay.
But that's her thing. More on that later.
Either way, it's getting hit with the let's change shit around brush, which, it's an attempt to be inclusive, but you know again I don't see it as being necessary. Why? Fucking why?
Why not? Why not?
Why? She's an actress. I don't get what
I have nothing against her as an actress, but again, I wouldn't change let's say they do Pulsar. I wouldn't take and make her Chinese. I'd leave her what she is. I'd leave people what they are because that's what they are.
Legitimate question. Who the fuck is Pulsar?
That's the episode title. Who the fuck is Pulsar? That is the episode. Write that down, Ryan.
Marvel. Dr. Adam Brashear, the chick who's dating Blue Marvel. Black chick with the
I don't read old.
But you know who I'm talking about.
No.
First female Captain Marvel.
Hold on, I'm going to Wikipedia. Fuck.
Monica Rambeau.
Monica.
Why didn't you say Monica Rambeau then?
Yeah, I don't know who Pulsar is. I know who Monica Rambeau is.
That's her hero name.
She's just Monica Rambeau.
No, she goes by Pulsar too.
Wait a second. I'm getting that Pulsar is a member of the Shi'ar Imperial Guard.
There is one that's also part of the Shi'ar Imperial Guard.
She's just Monica Rambeau.
But I happen to know both. I'm sorry. I should have used Monica Rambeau. It's just like me saying Nova. I might confuse the two of y'all because you wouldn't know who I'm talking about.
Who Richard Rider. Or you could just say Richard Rider.
Or I could be talking about Sam.
She's not getting Pulsar anymore.
Or
Spectrum.
Really?
We're derailing. We are derailing.
Okay. All I'm saying is, I don't see the need to change. I get that they, you know, shit is too white, and this is a trend, you know, because it's too white. Whatever. This is me. Whatever. I don't look at the universe as being that white, or you know, or something that needs to be tweaked. It's an annoyance that they do that, you know. And I know that they don't do it the other way because fucking reasons. But also, you have the arguments, like I posted the article on our Facebook page about people who were upset that Iron Fist wasn't Asian. You know, I just, no. You know, he's white guy. Let the white people be white. Okay?
Look, I get what you're saying. I do. But
I
Domino's
can't, I'm not, go ahead.
Skin color, as it is in the comic books, most primarily seen, is unnatural, I guess,
I'm
is the word I'm looking for.
Talking about her skin color. I'm talking about her genetic type. She's Caucasian. Regardless of the color of her skin. Regardless of the color of her skin.
I always thought she was just a clown.
No.
Yeah.
You can look at her.
It's black and white.
She
like
looks
a
like a
card.
Clown. She has a black eye, unnatural card. Eye thing on her. She looks like a clown.
Okay, I'll put it to you this way. If you were to take Spectrum and give her the same white and black overlay, they'd still look completely fucking different. Okay? If you put her and Carol Danvers, give them the same color treatment for the color of their skin, that's all it is. You're looking at the color of their skin. I'm talking about the genotype of woman.
Wow, we're getting into some dumb shit right here.
Yeah, let's pull back because you're getting into some
whatever. All I'm saying is I don't know Sassy Beats. I have nothing against her. I'm just irritated that they went and did this. But if she pulls it off, fine and dandy. I ain't got nothing against it. There you go.
Wow. Again, for the record, states. Domino, and forever always will be to me, a clown. A very deadly clown, but a clown nonetheless.
By the way,
let's move on.
Hold on. Any hatred, send it over to me. My address is 1313 Mockingbird Lane. Don't give a fuck, America. 90210. My name is Taser. This is what I do.
Let's move on to our final bit of news, which is the fact that Sony still has a hard-on for Venom. There are rumors for a Venom movie to film this year. Look, Sony, I'm looking at you. I'm looking at you right now. Stop. Venom's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. It's been 10
Do
years.
Do a Mean Girls thing.
It's been
Stop trying to make Venom saying. Happen.
It's not going to happen. Venom's popularity, his hype popularity, eclipsed somewhere in like 1996. Let's be real here. And a Venom standalone movie right after the Amazing Spider-Man movie.
Doesn't he still
Spider,
have
Amazing
a book
Spider-Man.
Now?
No, he does. Yeah, I think he does.
Exactly. So it's not like, well, Venom was a thing and he's no longer. He has a book.
He's not.
He's
but in
different.
Terms of,
he's different.
In terms
Brandon.
Of, well, he's back to his monster form now. He's not Agent Venom anymore. but in terms of, what I'm talking about. In terms of mass appeal is what I'm saying. Like, I don't think a standalone Venom movie works. I think Venom works best when he's in tandem with Spider-Man. The only take I will accept, and I already have the screenplay written, and I will write it. I will write this Venom movie because, goddammit, the only Venom that I think works kind of works without the Spider-Man attachment, and you got to rework it a lot, but just do Agent Venom. Because you can't do original Monster Venom unless you have the Spider-Man dynamic, because that's where that Venom flourished. At least initially, because it'd be weird to just introduce this monster and then he has his own movie. He didn't become an anti-hero until afterwards. So why not have it that the U.S. government founded, or S.H.I.E.L.D., since this would be in the Marvel Cinematic Universe, found the symbiote, and you can still involve Flash Thompson. Flash Thompson can still have his legs blown off
Iggy.
From the Iraqi war. What?
May I intercut for a moment?
No, I'm reading my screenplay. and you can still have him. You can have him put on the symbiote suit, do everything from Agent Venom, and not do and just skip that monster stuff, because I believe, my opinion, that original Monster Venom doesn't work without the context of Peter Parker's story. But Agent Venom, you can at least work around it. The government had it, and we want to use it as a weapon. And then you can go to the monster stuff. But I think before, you can still have him be this, that the symbiote still be the super addictive drug that they need, that Flash Thompson has to buy. Because nobody cares about Eddie Brock. So just have it be Flash Thompson. Just do Agent Venom. That if they're going to do it, Sony, if you just cannot, get off of Venom's dick for 5 minutes, do that. Don't do hulking monster Venom. Because we saw the last time when you did Venom. It was awful. Don't do that again. I'm done.
Cool. Kind of piggybacking onto that, I suppose. Iggy, have you heard the fan theory that movie Life is a prequel to the Venom movie?
I've heard that, yeah. I've heard that.
It makes a startling amount of sense, and it would allow for your government conspiracy tie-in, because then the government would know about it, and it'd be like, hey, what the fuck? And then Ryan Reynolds is in a Spider-Man movie, too, like, what the fuck? Now, but yeah, there's a fan theory going around that I played. I just thought that would go really well. But yeah, I never cared for Venom. I tried. I really did. I thought I was missing something that everybody else just got, and I was like the odd man out. I understand now that he's mostly a relic of the 90s. Kind of.
You like Cable?
Yeah. Cable's had some pretty decent
runs. And Deadpool.
Runs.
No, Cable transcends time.
Yeah, because he's a time traveler.
Wait, God damn it, you didn't
yes,
have to
I
say
did,
it.
Yes, I did, because I had to ruin
no.
it. I had to Fuck. Ruin it.
But yeah, look, I mean, I don't give two shits about Venom. If they actually pulled the thing where it's like, hey, this movie is a prequel to that, if they actually made Life the prequel, I would be like, oh shit, that's actually pretty fucking dope. And I might go see Life, but I'm not going to go see Venom. Like, Venom, just save Venom for, like, way, way down the line in Spider-Man. You don't have to do Venom right away, because here's the dirty little secret. Unless you love Venom, nobody gives a shit about Venom. There are way more interesting villains you can do in the Spider-Man mythos than Venom. Hell, I posted another article. We're not going to talk about it in depth here today, but apparently Black Cat may be getting her own spin-off movie from Spider-Man, if you can actually believe that. So, you know, there are more interesting characters you can focus on that don't necessitate Venom and all the baggage and all the story you have to tell that comes with it. Because the story of Peter Parker getting the symbiote suit, realizing what the suit is doing, and then trying to rid himself of the suit is a movie in and of itself. You don't need another, you know, you don't need a movie to compound that. You can just kind of do that, and then Venom could be the next movie or whatever. You know, you don't need that, but yeah, from where you're coming from, Iggy, I can understand, because with Venom, there has to be a whole other story before that story can happen, and it's just, it's not something you can do as quickly or within a single movie, you know? It's just, it's not something that can be done, at least not effectively. So, I mean, anyway, I don't give a shit about Venom anyway, but just don't. Just stop. I understand what you're trying to do. I know, but you're going to flood the market with Spider-Man because it's all Sony has to lay claim to, and it's going to get old real quick. So maybe just back off of Venom for right now and don't do that, you know?
They still want to make Venom happen.
It's never going to happen.
Taser, thoughts on a potential Venom movie?
I have to ride with Bri on this. I'm not a big Venom fan. I don't really care all that much about the character. I thought Venom was annoying when he debuted in the comics. He's been annoying for the most part since. When I came back to Marvel, because, you know, I wanted to do the show, and I, you know, we were going through when Avengers Disassembled and, you know, Civil War and everything else like that. And then fucking Osborn's Avengers, the Dark Avengers. You know, that's where I come to find out, oh, wow, they really, really made Venom fucking twisted. And, you know, Scorpion had him at that point. And,
yeah,
Mac
Gargan.
Yeah, and apparently Venom kind of enjoyed or needed to eat brains. That was new. That was a new thing. I think having a solo Venom movie could work if the Spider-Man part was cut to a minimum in the beginning You know, just like, you know, whatever happens, and, you know, he gets ripped off. But you kind of have to explain that. And, okay, yeah, I'm the old man, and I'm the completionist. Yeah, I want the hint from Secret Wars. Yeah, I want that. But, if he gets, you know, he gets on Spider-Man, Spider-Man fights him, he manages to get him off, and then he lands on Eddie Brock, and the rest of the movie is Eddie Brock dealing with the hunger. Make it a Marvel horror movie. I think that would work. That would be different. Because everything's been nice, shiny, and kind of sort of pseudo-superhero-y. Marvel has a history of doing horror books. This would be an interesting first horror Marvel movie. I think I would go see that. I really would. I'm not sure. I don't know if as much as I do like the idea of Agent Venom in a movie, that would be kind of kick-ass. I'm not even going to lie there. But I would rather see traditional Venom. If I'm going to do a first movie for Venom, I'd want to be traditional. I'd want Venom as most people know of him. But I think making it horror is the way to go. So, yeah, keep Spider-Man whatever to a minimum and have him incapacitated or something and then bring him back in for, like, the fourth act or some shit, you know. Maybe he makes a mention of talking to some strange stretchy dude who gave him some device and, you know, it cleans him up. But, yeah, do that. I think I could probably go for that if they just changed up. If it's just regular, like, oh, I hate Spider-Man, blah, that's fucking boring. Yeah, I don't really care about that.
All right, well, fuck Venom. I think that's all the news. Oh, we got one bit of news, last bit of news, which is the Thor Ragnarok pictures that showed up via... All right, go ahead and bitch, because I'm not even going to stop you.
The story for Thor Ragnarok is more based off of Planet Hulk than Simonson's epic Thor run.
Epic?
Epic. Can I say capital E, P-I-C, all of that capitalized?
Is the I like an exclamation point?
It's the biggest exclamation point you can picture! Whee! Underlined and underscored. Simonson's run on Thor was epic.
Would you say it was godlike?
Yes. As a matter of fact, I would honestly say it's one of the best pieces of comic literature I have ever read in my lifetime. I honestly mean that. It's in the top three for Marvel at least, and top five of everything I've ever read. Okay? As a single narrative, because it really is, when you have it together and you put it and you go through it, I can't think of anybody who couldn't be blown away by that, unless you're simply not a Thor fan, which is fine. Yeah, more power to you. But when we heard that they were doing Thor Ragnarok, I think most of us, if not all of us here, thought, Simonson. Oh my God. As a matter of fact, we did that on the show. You know? We were like, oh, Simonson. Me and Bri-Brack did that.
Yeah.
Simonson. I think I might have even said that on the show. Jizzed in my pants. And then we found out a few weeks ago, at least I did, that it's not based on that. It's based on Planet Hulk. Planet Hulk was fun in a kind of lame and distracting sort of way, but it also wasn't a Thor story. It was a Hulk story, which is fine, but, I was living off of the hope and the word of what I thought I was going to get. And then to have reality set in, or at least be corrected from what I was thinking was going to happen. No, that's not it. It's this. I'm depressed. You know, I really, really, and even knowing how watered down and
that's what I was going to say. I was like, are you sure you really wanted to see the MCU version of your
Because
I don't think you wanted to.
I don't want to see the version of Infinity War that we're going to get, because you know how fucking watered down that's going to be.
Oh, yeah, I'm just gonna cut out your entire segment.
It'll be an outtake episode exclusively for, like, subscribers.
I'm just going to let it record, and I'm going to put Taser's bitching of how weak Infinity War is because it doesn't have this, this, or this, or this, and I'm just enjoy it for what it is, but whatever.
Fine and dandy, but... I'm disappointed. I really was thinking we were going to get one thing, and then we're going to get something else entirely. And I can't help but think, well, why not just make this a Hulk movie? But, you know,
that's the thing with Universal. This is the backdoor way of doing a Hulk movie.
Either way, I can't say I'm not going to go see it because I want to see it because I want to see what they do. You know, I mean, there you go. And like we were talking about offline, I gotta see Sparkly Grandmaster, Rainbow Grandmaster. He's sparkalicious there. Good old Jeffy Goldblum, you sparkle meister, you. Fabulous. Sorry. That one image of him, I honestly think I'm gonna have to fill my mouth up with, like, either nachos and popcorn, because I know I won't spit that out, because when I see him on screen in that color, that colored attire,
or he looks different in the final version.
I doubt that. I really doubt that. And don't get me wrong, I actually like the fact that there's color, because, you know, I think a lot of hero movies tend to be a little drab for my taste. So him being, you know, like the grandfather to Rainbow Bright, you know, that's kind of a cool thing, but he does also look ridiculous.
I mean, when you look at the Grandmaster in the comics, he looks fucking ridiculous.
What?
He looks ridiculous.
Actually, he looks like a Star Trek villain,
which is ridiculous.
No, okay, well, that's another argument.
Star Trek sucks.
I'm not gonna confirm or deny any of that.
Overrated TV show that tries to be good science fiction.
Twitter.com/MarvelousHiggy.
New Star Trek is better because it's action.
The Grandmaster and the Collector in the comics look like people you really don't want to mess with. So far in Marvel,
like a clown?
Cinematic,
because I don't mess with clowns.
What?
Like a clown?
He does not look like a clown in the comics. Don't play yourself.
He looks like a clown.
No, he does not.
He looks like a clown in
the
comics.
Domino looks like a clown. He looks like the Grandmaster. Give him a hat, he'd run the fucking show. Anyway. Okay. I wanted somebody who, at least if he's an elder of the universe, I wanted him to be somebody that, yeah, this dude looks like he's some other thing. Let me not play around with him. But, you know, looks can be deceiving. With all the color and shit, he just might blink and wipe out half the planet. I don't know. I doubt it because it's a fucking MCU movie. But either way, I'm going to go see it regardless. I'm going to go see it. We gotta do the show, and I'm curious. But I'm disappointed in what I heard the movie's going to be about. You know, it's not going to be what I thought. So that's really where most of my consternation comes from. And... you know, I really can't help that. But
Brian, quickly.
Hey, I don't do anything quickly, man. Come on now. I mean, look, it's not Thor Ragnarok. It's just not. It can claim the title all at once, but it's not Thor Ragnarok. We have the Grandmaster who looks like Rainbow Bright fucked Gozer from fucking Ghostbusters, and that was what came out.
I'd watch and, that.
Yeah, I know.
I would watch that.
There's not much you wouldn't watch, buddy.
That's true, too, yeah.
So, I mean, look, same thing. The Thor franchise, while not the best of Marvel Cinematic, has continually proven to be one of my personal favorites, if not the overall best. I like the first one. It's like in my top five Marvel Cinematic movies. And I also enjoy Dark World on a lower level, but it's enjoyable nonetheless. And this one I'm sure will be fine because we get Thor and Hulk teaming up to kick stomp ass, I guess. But it's not gonna be Scourge's last stand at the gates of hell. It's not.
Damn them! Damn!
I mean, Hella is in this movie, so you don't fucking know that.
Look.
I think they did cast Scourge.
No, they did.
Yeah.
But it's not gonna be.
So then stop assuming shit's not in the movie until we've seen the fucking movie.
Even if they do, would it be half as cool as the actual story of fucking Ragnarok and the context around that scene?
Have you ever read that story, Iggy?
Yes.
Okay. Just one?
I thought it was meh.
Okay,
Taser. He's young. He's naive. Let him go.
Bitch, you're younger than me. Also, the Korvac saga is boring.
Also, Dredd is playing fucking...
What?
Yeah, Dredd. Judge Dredd. Carl
he
Urban.
Said the Korvac saga was You know
what?
What? You're lucky you live in Texas. You are so fucking lucky.
Let's move on. I think we're talking next about Thor Ragnarok.
Your taste
I'm still looking forward to the movie.
Sucks. Okay, I'm saying it now.
Keep it to yourself, geezer. All right, let's move on to our comics. Taser, do you have anything to review? Because I forgot to ask that. I don't think you do.
Yeah, Ultimates 5.
Ah, the disappointment issue. well, I'll review my issue, which is Hulk number 4, the continuation of She-Hulk dealing with her trauma of being in the coma and her cousin being dead. This issue was pretty much the same as always, except we learned a little bit more about her clients. Where we found out what happened there. Basically, she was physically assaulted, not sexually, but she was physically assaulted by these. They won't say they were aliens. I know they were something.
On roller skates.
Yeah. They pretty much it forced her, like didn't force her, but she was so traumatized she didn't leave her house, and she became this sort of weird albino person, and she made a pact with some weird creature that we don't know.
She's an inhuman. She's an inhuman. Yeah, she's an inhuman. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. See, I blocked it out because I fuck the Inhumans. They don't exist in my opinion. As far as I know, she's just a weird albino lady.
No, she's inhuman.
Whatever. So, and what I like about this issue is that it was sort of Jen looking into a mirror, like seeing somebody who went through something similar, and realizing you can't live your life this way. You can't live in fear, you know, of what you can do. And the issue kind of at the end puts her in a position where she either turns green or something else is going to happen, which I liked. Again, this is I still love this. I still really enjoy this book. I love that what they're putting through what they're putting Jennifer through. And you know, it's not the most superhero-y book of them all, but it's a more personal story.
Understatement.
Yeah, and I mean, but I like it. If I want a She-Hulk story, there's hundreds of She-Hulk issues that I could read of traditional She-Hulk stories. It's called Deconstructed for a reason. But I liked it. I like the art. I'm looking forward to see like if she does Hulk out in the next issue. In which case, it'll Hulking out actually mean something because knowing what she's going through, and what she has to do to push her to that moment. So I like the series. Not for everybody, but I'm pleasantly surprised by every issue, and it's still very good in my opinion.
Well,
I want to
back you. I want to pick you up on that because I read it myself. I've been sticking with the series because I wanted to see what the new dynamic was going to be with Jennifer Walters and and She-Hulk. I figured they kind of hinted that. Yeah, she's going to be damaged. Yeah, there's going to be loss of control and, raise, grrr, She-Hulk smash, that kind of bullshit. And I wanted to, I'm waiting to see that. I will say I forgot the name of the lady who's writing it. She took her time getting here. And while I won't say I wasn't curious and I wasn't interested or intrigued, I am kind of, ready to kind of jump off the fence and leave it alone because the pace has been slower than I like. okay? I don't have a problem with the story, just how long it's taking her to tell it, you know? And where this issue ended, okay, this looks like, yeah, this is what pushes Jennifer into, you know, having to do what she clearly does not want to do. So finally, next issue, optimally, unless somehow she stretches that shit out, we'll get to see how she'll operate, you know, moving forward. And that will determine whether I stick with the book or not. Beyond that, I didn't have any other real problems with the book. I think the characters are decent. The writing's intelligent. You know, the dialogue is good. Let's get to it. You know, that's really, you know, my main issue with this. But yeah, I don't think what's her name, Elise, the shut-in. I don't think she's gonna survive this. That's just my call on it. But if I had to give a rating, I'd give it like 3.8 warriors out of 5.
All right, let's move on to let's go on to Brian, who is talking about Iron Fist.
Oh god.
I'm gonna say this. Fuck this book. This is bad. And I'll let Brian continue on this.
I'm sorry. Iron Fist is bad?
No, Moon Knight was bad. Iron Fist is something else entirely.
Fuck you. Iron Fist was great. I loved it. It was a solid first issue. Context. While Danny Rand was off doing his New York Iron Fist thing, Kung Lun was attacked and destroyed, and Iron Fist is losing his connection to Sha-Lao the Undying.
Did that actually happen in any book?
Probably the one where the writer and artist were the same guy, Carr Andrew.
Oh, you mean that last one where they rebooted everything?
Maybe. I don't. I okay. No, I didn't Earth for Hire, so if it happened in that book, I'm kind of like.
No, I mean that last one where you come to find out that the father was, like, the origin.
Yeah, that's
had...
the one I would guess. But okay. Then that raises right. The question of what happened with Heroes for Hire and how did that. It's right. I don't know. But I really like this issue. I thought it was solid. It obviously it concerns with Danny Rand trying to reconnect with his chi and figure out, you know, what's happening because he's losing his power. And he's confronted in a bar in the middle of his misery by this kung fu fighter who legitimately challenges him and can hurt him. And, you know, sort of invites him to this tournament of champions where, you know, on this island called Li Shu or Lu Shi, I don't know. But first of all, can I just say I really like the art on this book. I thought it was really, really well done. So, you know, big ups to Mike Perkins. What? And Ed Brisson wrote a mean first issue. I really liked it. I thought it was solid. I mean, it's your standard setup fare where you have Danny Rand kind of globetrotting. He's kind of burning his money trying to enter these fighting arenas and trying to find someone who legitimately challenges him, and, you know, no one really does. And then finally, at the pit of his desperation, he gets invited to this island champion tournament or whatever. So I'm interested to see how it unfolds and how that exactly ties in with the destruction of Kun Lun, because I feel like that's something you have to address. I feel like that's something you might need to address in an Iron Fist book. You know, what happened to fucking Kun Lun where the Iron Fist is fucking made, which, by the way, to Iggy's point, to balance this out, I bought the first omnibus of Matt Fraction and David Aja's Iron Fist run. Very nice. But I really like this book. I thought it was a solid start, and I'm interested to see where it goes, especially considering, you know, this tournament of champions, who they're going to have show up. It's going to be like a...
It's a contest of champions.
Exactly. I'm wondering who the who's going to be of Marvel Kung Fu fighters showing out. So
the know. Lady of Silk, probably, or whatever the fuck her name was from the
right.
run.
Yeah. Variety of Nine Spiders.
There you go, that chick. There you go.
So I'm here for it. I'm here to see it. I'll be up for the next issue. So I actually really, really liked it. 3.5, 4 out of 5. Kind of... That variable there is meant for if you're a fan of Iron Fist or not, because I think that kind of really makes a difference. Because I really liked the character, so I really liked it. But
it was weird because I picked it up I didn't know. Well, I wasn't paying attention that they were going to do a Iron Fist book. So I read it, and the whole he was disconnected from Shao Lao the Undying was news to me, you know. And then reading how he went about trying to find satisfaction in his existence, I kind of, you know what that to me looked like? I don't know if either of you two ever saw the movie. That was like fucking Rambo 3, you know, where he, or might even actually 2, where he's just kind of going from place to place fighting because fighting. And I'm thinking if you're worth as much as Daniel Rand is, you would need to hop from here to here to here to here to get to here to go do whatever. Wouldn't you just take a flight, go to somewhere as close to wherever the fuck the portal is to Kunlun is, and go there to investigate? You know?
Look, I mean, isn't there the thing, though, where the portal to Kunlun can only open so many years or something like that? It's only open at, like, specific times?
Typically, yes, but there have been various ways around, that, and it's not like he doesn't know Doctor Strange. You know? Or hell, fucking Wanda. You know, there are other mystics in the Marvel Universe that could get him there, or could at least help him investigate. But here, they played up his response as being the lost, lonely, rich boy who can kick everybody's ass for the most part. I thought it was an odd decision. You know, I can't say it was awful. It was just odd, considering how stable Daniel Rand has been through most of my knowledge of him, and that goes back quite a bit. I'm literally curious to see if they end up having him do like the Tony Stark drinking thing, because it looks like they're, you know, they're kind of, you know, he's heading in that kind of general direction, except this one just has more fisticuffs involved, you know. So I would agree with your rating, though, because it was an interesting issue. I agree with that completely. It's just, you know, that one thing about, you know, destruction of Kunlun, that caught me by surprise. It really
did.
Well,
yeah, I mean, because you can go ahead and rationalize it however you want. I understand that with the whole, like, you know, he has sorcerer friends, but, you know, Doctor Strange is still kind of not Doctor Strange, and Wanda's...
All right.
Wanda's doing her own thing, where she's, like, trying to fix her aging or mental status or something like that. How did that turn out, by the way, Iggy? How did that go? Iggy?
How'd it go, what?
Scarlet Witch. how did that go for Scarlet Witch in her own series?
I mean, she pretty much just, like, I have done my trials, I have achieved what I wanted to do, I'm ready to be an Avenger again.
I deserve it.
Well, she just says she's ready to be it. Whether they accept it or not, I don't fucking know. But it's pretty much just like I have put aside my demons. I have found what was wrong with witchcraft, and it's like I'm ready to be an Avenger. If you will have, and it just ends like that. The Avengers don't take her in. It pretty much just ends on that cliffhanger. So.
Still don't care about it.
You don't care about a lot of things. But let's move on to your final review, Forever, which is The Ultimates, number 5.
Okay.
I'm just saying the Korvac saga is boring, man. That's all I'm saying. Yeah. He doesn't appear for, like, 4 issues, and he's just, like, plotting. He does the one thing with Starhawk, and that's it. And then it's like, now we're going to fight this guy, and Thor lost his memory for some fucking reason.
You have no taste in comics. Anyway, Ultimates 5. Yay! No, that's not supposed to be indicative of what I thought about this book. Again, this book wasn't stellar. Book didn't blow me away. Book has been keeping me on my toes, just watching to see how far down the cosmic rabbit hole this shit will take us. And first page introduces us to a new cosmic person, or at least one that I have never heard of, a being called the Never Queen, she who is all possibility. I thought that was Infinity.
Well, remember,
no, he's just the physical embodiment of the universe, and Infinity is chained up.
No. That's eternity. Hmm? That's eternity. Infinity.
These friggin' abstract concepts, man.
Yes, I am.
Fuck you, Jim Starlin.
Wow.
Jim Starlin, you know what? Just for that, I should fuck you up. Really. you're really getting into dangerous waters here. You're lucky John Dunn's not here. He's closer to you than I am.
John can't reach me with his station wagon.
Oh, that's not right. Hey, he could hop in the Burgermobile, okay? So don't worry.
Like the one from Good Burger that has the burger in front of it.
Either way, this lady gives like the quickest rundown of everything that's been happening in the book so far to date on one page, and seated in the palm of her hand is like the last living celestial, which I get that this book is trying to revamp the cosmic stage, you know, and that's actually a pretty interesting concept in and of itself for Marvel, because it's been the same for the last, 50, 60, let's say 30 some odd years, ever since Doctor Strange, whatever the fuck, you know? And this issue, we get a little bit more about the guy who's in charge of the troubleshooters. You know, we see, you know, how he ties into the guy who was Justice, except now he's not Justice because fucking Hickman Secret Wars. And, you know, we see the conclusion of the fight between the troubleshooters and the Ultimates. We find out that one of the members of the troubleshooters is apparently a plant by the person, the being, who's also behind Chaos and Order doing what they've been doing. Okay, because, yeah, they're also going by somebody else's word. And
the word of the Lord.
Well, you know, kind of. We do get to see a suitless, weaponless T'Challa beat up somebody in a decidedly well-armed suit with a kick. Just kind of dismantled everything, which, okay, yeah, comic book bullshit and everything. I still had to clap because this the stunned look on this woman is like, how, who, what? And then he gives her, you know, some mystical kind of bourgeois answer.
He should have just said, bitch, I'm Black Panther, and just walked away.
If it had been Iron Fist, I wouldn't have batted an eye. But, you know, it's Black Panther, and Black Panther is kind of the Batman for Marvel. You know, he'll just do shit, and it'll be like, well, because. So, here's a big load of job for you, and you'll take this because I gave it to you. I'm Black Panther. This is what I do.
Here's my business card.
Yeah, exactly. I'm playing the race card, except my race card is job. So, the fight gets resolved. For the most part, the Ultimates prevail, but Blue Marvel gets his ass beat right by Rotzvow, who is in reality an agent for the being behind every fucking thing, and that being is, I shit you not, the first firmament. Who's the first firmament?
Isn't it the embodiment of the multiverse?
I'm thinking it's the first multiverse. Everything that we've seen so far, everything, Eternity being chained up, Master Order, Lord Chaos becoming Logos, Rotzvow doing whatever the
reverting
fuck,
back to
and them turning Galactus into, I don't know, what the fuck was that? He's a big giant, you know, mewling, inky skull thing. Who hasn't done anything? Let's be clear. He's just been...
It's only been two issues.
Right, but we haven't seen him eat anything. He just seems to be kind of stuck there. But whatever.
Yeah.
All of this is being... is being done by the first, that's the first firmament, which I'm guessing is the first multiverse. I guess, you know, it's clearly something cosmic, and I gotta say it's kind of terrifying because, I mean, we've known for the longest time that this is not the first Marvel universe. You know, that's been kind of written into, you know, the background.
Yeah, they said like
this. So that's fine and dandy. But to think that the previous version of the universe is now pissed off and trying to rewind everything back to itself. That's a kind of terrifying in my in my head. You know, that's like, whoa. It's really and not for nothing, the who's it, Travel Foreman, the artist? You know what? Two thumbs up. Because when you see the full page, the last page is a full page shot of a face with I don't know what the fuck, three eyes and skull, and it looks horrible and horrifying, and it does what it needs to do. It kind of scares the shit out of me. So if I don't know about Al Ewing, you know, Pat's brother, but the artist gets, you know, two thumbs up for me. You know, I fucking well done. So yeah, as of the last page of this, we you know where we actually get to the title of the book called Skyfather. I thought that shit was hilarious. Yeah, this book continues to be intriguing and interesting. I can't say it's awesome. I really can't say it's awesome, but it's a roller coaster ride that I'm enjoying because I want to see where it ends up. You know, whether they dial it back, whether they do some changes, whether shit just stays different. Yeah, I'm on that ride to see where we go, you know. I hope it's a good one. And I'm not even hoping it gets dialed back to zero. I hope I enjoy when it stops, you know, where we're at. So I would give this, if I'm to be honest, I'd give this a 4.2 Warriors out of 5.
All right, well, ladies and gentlemen, that's going to do it for this show, the Mighty Warriors 3 Marvel Podcast. Check us out on Facebook.
Thank you for all the likes we got over Logan. We've got just the largest number of likes for our show that we've gotten to date. I would just like to say, and I'm not going to single out anybody in particular, although we've had people respond. And, you know, to those of you who have, thank you very much. We appreciate the input. Believe it.
We do. We broke late here on this podcast, but we finally got people who are out there legitimately liking stuff. So big ups to you people for keeping it going and just kind of, you know, showing your support, because we appreciate it.
Also, Kuhan, you have crappy taste in movies. That was from something said during Iggy's Twitch stream.
Thank you for listening, ladies and gentlemen. Follow me at twitter.com/marvelousiggy for all updates concerning me. And next week, I will already say what our book of the week will be, because I do have a book of the week for next week. It's going to be X-Men Prime number 1. Will the X-Men actually return to prominence after dealing with this Inhuman bullshit? Or there'll be another sad attempt at Marvel trying to keep that faded mutant franchise alive. Tune in next time, ladies and gentlemen. Until then, on the Marvelous Iggy, and no matter what, stay marvelous, and don't be like Taser. Have a good night.